Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 91st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include author Mark Shaw. We'll be talking about the new book, Collateral Damage, which is available now. We'll also visit with Marcus Grimmie about the Concert for a Cause, the Christina Grimmie Foundation fundraiser coming up June 8th. We'll also visit with actor Stuart Townsend, got a new movie, Grace and Grit, available in theaters, on demand, and streaming now. We'll also visit with musician Daniel Hines of Left Arm Tan, their new single, It Ain't Love. We'll also talk about their summer shows and upcoming EP. And we'll also visit with her good friend, Kelly Lang, her new inspirational single. We'll also talk about speaking engagements and being home with TG during pandemic times. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Now, it's National Donut Day, and a few places are running deals. You can get a free donut at Krispy Kreme, no purchase necessary. Dunkin' has a free donut deal too if you buy a drink. DiGiorno is also giving away a pizza donut mashup on Twitter called DiGiornuts. And here are a few donut stats for your Friday. 91% of us say that they like or love donuts, and only 1% of us hate them. Number 2, the average person eats 31 donuts a year. That's 2 or 3 a month. Number 3, glazed donuts are our favorite type. The top 5, glazed, Boston cream, chocolate frosted, jelly donuts, and chocolate cake donuts. Number 4, Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' are our favorite donut chains. But 3% of us prefer Entenmann's, you know, that you can buy at the grocery store. Number 5, our preferred spelling is D-O-N-U-T. Only 1 in 3 people spell it the other way. And number 6, over half of us have bought donuts for coworkers before, and you might be more popular if you do. 51% of us think more highly of people who bring donuts to work. 47% said it doesn't change their opinion, and 2% said it actually makes them think less of them. Got numerous books, and we're going to talk about his newest one, Collateral Damage. It's the mysterious deaths of Marilyn Monroe, JFK, and Dorothy Kilgallen, and the ties that bind them to Robert Kennedy and the JFK assassination. We've got Mark Shaw on with us today, and I can breathe now. Mark, first off, thank you so much for taking the time, brother.
Yes, I think that's the longest subtitle in history.
Forgive me. Every time I see that, I want to end it with dun dun dun. It just feels like that's how the name of the book should end.
Yes, I think that's true. What I've tried to do is resolve 3 true crime murder mysteries in one book. And if you're interested as to how this happened, I wasn't even going to write the damn book. I had already written about the JFK assassination. Mm-hmm. I'd written about Dorothy Kilgallen, the famous journalist who got too close to the truth about the JFK assassination and was murdered in 1963. That book became a bestseller. I wrote another book about her and I was done. But so many people had a question mark, and that was, is there a connection between the deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen? Now, you may remember, Cameron, that these 3 individuals died within 40 months of each other. Mm-hmm. Marilyn died in 62, JFK 63, Dorothy 65. So I started looking into whether there could be that connection, and I found that Dorothy Kilgallen and Marilyn were good friends. Dorothy had written columns about her before her death, that she was doing really well as August of 62 came along. She had a new man in her life. She was upbeat and all of that. And then I found a very disturbing column, and that was issued just shortly after Marilyn died on August 4th, 1962. And it was Dorothy asking all these questions about the official verdict that Marilyn Monroe committed what they called probable suicide, although the media used the headline Marilyn Kills Self. And Dorothy asked all these questions. Why was the light on in her bedroom when she slept in the dark? Why was she found nude? She never slept in the nude. How could she have ingested 50 pills in 2 hours? And they said she died hours later. That made no sense. Why wasn't there a glass there in the bedroom to show that she had the water to take the pills. And so that really disturbed me. And I started looking into Marilyn's death. I started looking into her mental capacity. She was upbeat and everything. And that then led me to looking at the forensics. They originally said she died of an overdose, not suicide. Mm-hmm. So I had that. And then I started considering the fact that obviously she could have been murdered. Well, if she was murdered, who could it have been? I look at motive as a former criminal defense lawyer and a network TV analyst. And I said to myself, well, what could have happened there? What was going on in her life? And I turned to her relationship that she had with JFK after she sang happy birthday to him and all of that, and found that it was short lived because Joe Kennedy told JFK, that's over. You can't do that. You're running for re-election in 64. We can't have that. But then I found out who took up the trail, and it was Bobby Kennedy. He flew to Los Angeles. He was with Marilyn at her house at Peter Lawford's beachfront home. And basically that led to my finding information in certain documents. It's the book's all about documents, not what I say, but the documents, right. The CIA document talking about in one instance, Robert Kennedy had been having a romance and a sexual affair over a period of time with Marilyn Monroe. That was in the summer of 62. Then I found a CIA document that knocked my socks off. And I hate to use that cliche, but basically it was exposed in the 3rd of August, 62, the day before Marilyn died. It said Marilyn got upset because RFK promised he would divorce Ethel and marry Marilyn. And she got so upset about it, and other things happened where she felt like she was being used by the Kennedy as a piece of meat, in her words. But this particular document said the subject, Marilyn, threatened to hold a press conference and would tell all. And worse than exposing the sexual relationships, it said the subject has made references that she knows about bases in Cuba and the intent of the president to kill Fidel Castro. Well, as you can imagine, Cameron, exposing the relationships to the media would have been worse. But even worse than that would have been the knowledge that these two Kennedys had shared matters of national security. It would just have destroyed mm-hmm. both of their careers, probably. And so what do we know? Well, the Kennedys couldn't let that happen. Bobby Kennedy couldn't let that happen. And so I focused in on him as the primary person to finger with regard to causing Marilyn Monroe's death.
And for you, Mark, how much of a surprise was it the further you delved in and finding more and more documents and information?
It was shocking. It really was. You know, I really didn't want to badmouth JFK and RFK. I mean, JFK did many great things with civil rights and so on and so forth. RFK probably saved us from a nuclear war with Cuba when they had the mm-hmm. missile crisis. But, you know, they need to be held accountable for what they did. The Kennedys thought they could do anything. They're like athletes these days who don't think they have to play by the rules. Joe Kennedy was a bad guy. He fixed the 60 election by his actions there. And then having JFK appoint Bobby Kennedy attorney general, that led to JFK's assassination. We could go into that at a further time. But, you know, they need to be held accountable. And basically what I say is my conclusion is that if Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted for the death of Marilyn Monroe based on all the evidence that was evident at the time, then he would have been powerless. He would have had to have resigned as attorney general. His enemies wouldn't have had to kill JFK to render Bobby powerless as attorney general, which is exactly what happened. They wouldn't have had to do that. And in my opinion, there would have been no JFK assassination in 63. And Dorothy Kilgallen would not have been killed in 65 because there would have been no JFK assassination for her to have investigate. So the collateral damage of Joe Kennedy's actions and Bobby Kennedy, their actions led to the deaths of Marilyn Monroe, JFK, and Dorothy Kilgallen.
Now, Mark, whenever you delve into a book like this, I mean, what kind of a timeline do you set for yourself?
I can't do that. This book probably took about 18 months. It's interesting. I've done a lot of things in my life, Cameron, asked backwards, but I had an advantage here because I looked at the deaths of the three individuals in the wrong order. What you would normally do is look at Maryland's first, 62, JFK's 63, Dorothy's 65. But I had already written about JFK and the assassination, his death, and Dorothy in 65. And then I went back and looked at Marilyn's death in 62, and voila, it opened up this incredible window, not only into what happened to her, but more information I put in the book about the deaths of JFK and Dorothy Kilgallen.
That's right. And again, the book, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe, JFK, and Dorothy Kilgallen, and the ties that bind them to Robert Kennedy and the JFK assassination. Mark, it's been great to visit with you this morning. I want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find not only more information about the book, but everything you've got going social media wise as well, sir.
Thank you. Please, if they want more information about Dorothy Kilgallen, it's the Dorothy Kilgallen story.org. They want more information about the book, they can go to markshawbooks.com, my website. I've written a letter to the LADA asking for a reinvestigation of Marilyn's death. And all of that, that letter is up there. People can look at it. And the book is available everywhere. If they can, I'd love for them to buy it at an independent bookstore. But of course, most people go to Amazon and it's available there as well.
All right. Well, Mark, it has been great to visit with you this morning, sir. I appreciate you taking some time out and hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Now, sometimes online horoscopes do seem to nail what's going on in your life. But do you really believe in astrology? Meaning the position of the planets and stars affecting us in some way science can't explain. Now, Mercury is in retrograde right now until June 22nd, so over 9,000 Americans were polled, and 32% think it does affect us here on Earth. Another 27% said they weren't sure, and 39% said definitely not. Only 3 in 10 people even claim to know what Mercury in retrograde means. Retrograde is when a planet's orbit appears to change, so it starts going backward in the sky. But it doesn't really change. It's just an illusion that happens because of where we are in our orbit, and it happens with all the planets, not just Mercury. Got a concert for a cause, a tribute to Christina Grimmie coming up on the 8th. And with that in mind, we've got her brother Marcus on the line with us today. And first off, Marcus, I appreciate you taking some time to talk about the concert and everything else as well.
Thank you for having me, Ken. It's great to be here.
Now tell us the idea behind the concert for a cause. I know you've got a huge list of folks that have come in to kind of help support the cause. And Marcus, tell us where the idea came from first.
We're coming up on Christina's 5-year mark in which she was taken from us. We wanted to kind of have a tribute to her life, but also be a fundraiser for our foundation because her legacy has been how she impacted so many thousands of people. But now it's also turned into how we can support families that have been impacted by gun violence.
And for you, the Concert for a Cause, the monies, these help support families that have been impacted by gun violence. And Marcus, you can speak to this firsthand as well as how the external things, the things that folks don't think about that really affect the folks that have been impacted by gun violence firsthand, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, you are inundated with so much, not only the grief and just the sudden loss of losing someone who you care about so much. Then it's when bills start to pile up. You don't know when you can get to work next. You don't know. There's just a myriad list of things that start to pile up, and it takes a long time. And you might have this initial support in the first month or so, but as the time goes on, you know, friends and kind of things, people start to move on, but for you, you're a big hole. And that's where we try to step in as a foundation because we got that kind of support. We had Adam Levine, Christina's voice coach, pay for the funeral. We had friends and family. They made food for over a month, and my mom was sick with cancer at the time. We had people pay for food for the memorial, people doing our laundry. Like, it was crazy the kind of help we got. I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have that kind of assistance.
You were hand-in-hand with Christina, and what is maybe the impact that you've seen from the listeners, the fans, and the way the story has impacted them as well. I mean, to get that feedback from them, what does that mean to you on a personal level?
It, honestly, as a brother and her one of her best friends, it means more than I could possibly put into words. But these are kids who are, some are still kids, some are blossoming into adults, and they are still supporting an artist who they like for their music, now supporting her legacy by donating money to a foundation, spreading the word about it, talking about it, still listening to her music, even though she hasn't been here for almost 5 years, and helping us help other people. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing to me.
And Marcus, for you, what is the daily motivation when you get up? I mean, we all battle getting up and facing the day. What's the thing that really keeps the fire lit for you on a daily basis?
Man, I mean, I have a lot of pictures of me and Christina that are in my room, and I just, you know, just getting to see that smile on her face, knowing that she's not here anymore, and just know that she had a heart bigger than anyone I know, and that's a true statement. So I just want to capture that heart that she had, and I know she was here. She'd be helping people on the day-to-day. That's what she did through music. That's what, how she showed the love to her fans. I can capture that now and show love to people, everyone I come across, as well as families that are impacted by gun violence. So that's what I'm trying to do.
That's right. Now, Marcus, was there any of the folks that that stepped forward to help with the Concert for a Cause that maybe kind of threw you off a little bit?
Honestly, no. The best part is they all had some kind of relation with Christina at some point. We wanted to make sure that for this special concert, and it's the first one we've done like it, is that these are all people that knew her or had a relation with her, toured with her, hung out with her, started in YouTube with her, just some kind of exceptional story that they are even going to get to share in this of how they knew her and were in some relation to her.
Awesome. Now, Marcus, if folks want to find more information, not only about the Concert for a Cause, but the foundation and everything you guys have got going social media wise, where's the best place to keep up?
CGFConcertForACause.com. It has information on all of our personal stuff. It has information on what we do in the foundation, and you can get your free ticket to this online event with a star-studded cast.
That's right. Well, Marcus, I appreciate the work you're doing. I know you're making Christina proud with that, changing other people's lives as well. Hats off to you for the work you're doing. Hope you have a great weekend, and best of success with the Concert for a Cause as well, brother.
Well, thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
Do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's episode, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road in Altus, Oklahoma. They've always got red basket specials going on. They've got new hardware and the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. For more information, you can always call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Or hit them up on Facebook. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes. Now, is this creative and romantic or borderline stalking? Some woman named Carmen found out her boyfriend was cheating, so she broke up with him, blocked his number, and blocked him on social media. Now, the guy always denied that he cheated and wanted to keep pleading his case, but he had no way to get in touch with Carmen. So he figured out a way to contact her through Netflix. Now, they were still sharing an account, and Netflix allows up to 5 profiles that show up side by side when you launch the app. So he kept changing the names of each profile to write notes to her. Now, they're in Spanish, but the first one translates as, "I swear I'm innocent." Another one says, "I love you," and talks about her ignoring him. And a third one says, "Please talk to me on WhatsApp." Now, it's not clear if she ever called him, but it doesn't sound like she took him back.
got a new movie to talk about that is available today. And man alive, timely with this one as well. Grace and Grit. We've got Stuart Townsend on with us. And first off, Stuart, thank you so much for taking the time, brother.
Oh, thanks for having me, Cameron.
Now, like I mentioned, timeliness with the story of Grace and Grit. And Stuart, what was your thoughts the first time you got to see the script? What was your takeaway from that the first time?
The script was just a very unconventional love story that felt really grounded in reality and profoundly beautiful. I really wanted it to be a part of this story. And then I read the book, and that just blew my mind. It was one of the most profoundly moving books I've ever read in my life. I encourage everybody to read it. I wondered, how was the director going to capture this kind of movie? But he was such a huge Ken Wilber fan. Ken Wilber is a great American philosopher, mm-hmm. and who really changed the director's life, actually, Sebastian's life. So, you know, I felt like Sebastian was gonna create something special. And when I saw the movie, I'm very proud of it. I have to say, I think it's a really beautiful movie. It's an intense movie, but I think it's very uplifting ultimately.
Now, Stuart, whenever you see a script based upon a book, I mean, what kind of challenges does that immediately bring up in your mind as you get ready to portray a character, if you will?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it's about how much you have to leave out, because in a book, obviously, you get so much room to tell the story. And in a film, you get 90 minutes. You got to push it all in, squeeze it all in, try and make sense of everything. And yeah, I did wonder how Sebastian was going to do that. But him being such a huge fan of Ken, he had really considered this for a long time. And I think Sebastian understood what was really important to tell in this story was eternal love and what that's really about. And that's what this book is. And I think Sebastian has conveyed the story really well, considering. And I think, you know, Ken Wilber actually commented just the other day how happy he is with the story. So we have the blessing, thank God, you know.
Now, when you take on a character like Ken, I mean, how long does it take after filming is complete before you actually are detoxified from the skin of the character, if you will?
Yeah, you definitely feel pretty. I mean, I was very empty after it. It was a 4-week shoot. It was insanely intense. You have no idea, like, the things that happened. It was pretty extraordinary. And yeah, I just felt completely exhilarated and empty when the film finished. I think I sat on the couch for a few days doing nothing, staring at the wall.
For you, Ken, Stuart, that is, playing the role of Ken, how much different is the landscape this time around on a movie release as any that you've seen before, my friend?
You know, it's definitely different. I'm here at home talking to you on a computer. That's somewhat new. I personally prefer it. I don't have to go anywhere. And I think a lot of people are feeling that. They're like, oh, I don't have to travel to work anymore. Much happier now, you know. But yeah, the landscape has shifted. But I think a love story is what we need. We need more love stories right now, I think. And eternal love stories. Because they're eternal, they do not change. They're, you know, so I think I'm very happy to be telling this story at this particular time in our, where we are at right now.
You talked about being on Zoom, not having to go out to do the promotions. What's the biggest little tidbit that you picked up, the most COVID learning that you picked up over the last year, if you will?
Oh, my God. Don't believe the media. Don't believe anyone in authority. Yeah, something like that.
That's awesome. Now, Stuart, what is the goals look like as you move forward through the rest of 2021, 2022? I mean, obviously, we've all shifted things. How has your life or your goal setting shifted over the last year, if you will?
I'm prepping for the apocalypse. I have another movie coming out in September called Apache Junction, which I'm very excited about because I got to finally play a cowboy. So we had duels and bar fight scenes, and it's just a really fun. I had a great shoot doing that. So that'll be coming out. Looking forward to that. And, you know, mainly I'm actually just in the middle of building a house and setting up a new life. So I'm kind of busy just doing that right now. And, hoping to get back to do some more movies once I've got a house to live in.
There you go. It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It helps. It helps to have a roof over your head. Yeah.
Now, Stuart, if folks want to find out more information about Grace and Grit, and then, of course, everything you've got going social media-wise, where's the best place to keep up?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I'm to be honest, I'm not very active, but whenever there's promotional stuff for movies and stuff, I always do that. I always send out messages on those platforms. I'm on Twitter, which is a little more political. I'm on those three platforms, like music.
There you go. It is available in theaters, digital, and on demand today, Grace and Grit. And Stuart, it has been great to visit with you this morning. I hope you have a great weekend and best of luck with the house, my friend.
Thanks, man. Great chatting with you.
A lot of people have had to postpone their weddings last year, and I guess that extra time gave them a chance to say, wait, it's going to cost how much? Well, according to Google Trends, more people are looking to elope right now than ever before. So even though big weddings might be possible again, a lot of people are taking the cheaper route. Searches for the word elopement spiked last summer too when the pandemic was in full swing. But now, it is at an all-time high.
Always great to have our friends back, especially, and I'm even wearing the Oklahoma City shirt for our good friend, Oklahoma's own Kelly Lang with us. And Kelly, always good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
Now, we were talking before we came on about what this last year has been to all of us. And, the new single that you've had out has had some great feedback. And was speaking engagements, was that ever anything that you ever considered before?
Well, it is. I've done a few in the past, but my story has just been enriched by challenges that I've gone through in my life. And I think I have more to say at this point and more history behind me to have more confidence in what I am saying. And, you know, I'm 16 years out as a breast cancer survivor. And I've just chosen a fresh way of looking at how I dealt with that. And I believe it would be a positive impact on somebody that might be going through that. I didn't have anyone to really talk to about my situation that was my age going through it. And I wish that I had had someone to say, hey, this isn't a death sentence. It's a life sentence. You can go through this. You can do it and live bolder and more appreciatively. And that's how I chose to do it.
And what did you learn most this last year? I know we talked early in the pandemic times, but what did you learn to kind of help you through all of the time that, well, you couldn't get necessarily feedback from others? You had to kind of find that inside.
Well, you know, thank goodness for social media. I was able to release this song as a single, I'm Not Going Anywhere. Ended up in a commercial for Ascension Hospitals. And it was the perfect timing. It was kind of like lightning in a bottle because when Ascension released this commercial, it allowed people to heal from leaving their families and nursing homes or hospitals or whatever. It was just a form of comfort. And I was able to be reached out from people's personal lives via social media. I got tons and tons of letters saying, you know, thank you for your music. I was able to play this to comfort my mom in the hospital. Or unfortunately, some people used it as a funeral song or even a wedding song. And so I was able to sit at home and be able to be blessed by all of these beautiful messages that came into me. Otherwise, I might have been too busy to really stop and smell the roses and appreciate each and every letter that was sent to me. And, you know, it does make you appreciate, we took for granted how just standing up on stage and singing to an audience, that power of the people in the audience is so valuable. And going out on the road again now is, you just cannot imagine how appreciative we are with anybody showing up. It's we missed human contact for sure.
Now, what was it like the first time you got to get back on that stage after months off? I mean, did you feel like a little kid again, stepping on the stage for the first time again?
Well, you know, my husband is T.G. Shepherd. He's a country artist, too. So we did a show together in Florida for the first time. And I found it fascinating that although he's been doing this for 40 something years, well, I have two, basically, but I found it was like you're scared, like you've never done it before, but we realize it's like riding a bicycle. You know, you just get on it and, oh yeah, muscle memory. But the difference is that, you know, when you think you're never going to be able to do that again, you tend to just embrace it and you don't want the show to end and you're just, oh my goodness. It's golly, the power of music and people being there to appreciate it is a beautiful gift.
And how much have you had to adjust your technology learning over this last year? I mean, as a radio guy, I mean, having a video in front of me, I mean, that's beyond me in the first place. But, you know, working remote and all that stuff, what's been the hardest challenge for you?
Thank goodness for Zoom. I know, right? That's a whole new level of wow to me. You know, I challenged myself this year. I learned how to make videos. I couldn't go out to make videos. So I thought if I need something, you know, done, I'm going to have to do it myself. And I actually made the I'm Not Going Anywhere video. And I made a lyric video to Drive, the song that I had. It was first released on my album Old Soul this last year. So I've really been busy and really been challenging myself with things that I, like I said, I otherwise wouldn't have taken the time to do. And I feel more fulfilled from this, actually. It's been really, you know, TG and I were able to spend way more time together than we normally would. And we've loved our time together. It's been a beautiful thing that nobody saw coming, obviously, but we chose to see a lot of the goodness in our situation. I cleaned out my garage. Oh my goodness, did I need to do that? So, you know, it's just in hindsight, I'm not grateful for the pandemic, don't get me wrong, but grateful for the time.
And why is it that it's sometimes the hardest times we go through is what it takes for us to really learn to appreciate what we've got?
Well, I agree with you totally. I think it's like God pushing a reset button. You know, I think we all kind of needed a pause. Let's slow down and really evaluate what's real and what's healthy and good. And I needed it. I can't really speak for anybody else, but it was a positive thing for my family.
Now, Kelly, what has been one of the things that you found that as a result of pandemic, not being able to do anymore, that you found out was really something that wasn't a necessity in your life anyway? Did you find any things like that this last year?
Wow, you've got great questions. you know, I hadn't worn high heels in a whole entire year. And for me, people always call them McKelly shoes, you know. I realized that, you know, I'm a much more casual dresser now than I guess I was once before. I love clothes. I love to dress up, but I miss that. I miss when people now, when they can now go out, they're still in their pajamas or their sweatpants. And I hope we can get back to looking a little classier, you know, again, because it's done a number. Good grief. It's done a number. I make a lot of trips to the refrigerator and it shows. I can't wait to fit into my clothes.
Now, Kelly, if folks want to find out more information, not only about the music and the catalog that you've got, about the opportunity for speaking engagements and tour dates and all that stuff, where's the best place to find out more information and all that you've got going?
Well, you can find out everything at kellylang.net. I'm super excited. I've got a few speaking things coming up that are actually into 2022. So that's amazing to me that I'm already booking out into that area. But I've got paintings on there and my comedic character XOXO is on there. You can read up about her. And I'm actually in the studio now recording a brand new album that is going to be coming out probably first quarter of next year. It's kind of an extension of my album Old Soul, where I recorded a bunch of songs that I just grew up with and I loved. And some of them are pop, some of them are soul, some of them are, you know, just off the chart songs that you might not have even heard, but they were part of my growing up. And same with this next album. I didn't get a chance to finish all of the songs that I loved on volume one. So we're going into volume two now.
That's cool. Now, with TG and you under the same roof over this last year, I mean, have you guys really driven each other inspirationally as far as music is concerned?
I thought you were going to say, have you driven each other crazy?
I was trying to be nice.
you know, it's really cool. I've always been a fan of his. always will be. I just think I find him to be fascinating because he has done so many things well prior to even social media to have gained such fame. He is a super normal guy. He's very easy to live with. He's super kind to me. We have just grown together more, if that makes any sense. But anytime that I have something that I'm needing advice about, he's the only person that I would trust or go to. So we talk a lot, and things that I may be interested in, he's like, yeah, I did that in the 80s. I did that, you know, and it's a wonderful, he's like an encyclopedia of things that I need to be waiting for or looking for or whatever. And I think he's the greatest teacher ever for me. We get along so well.
I can't say it. It can't be any better than that for the man you're married to. So that's hats off to you guys.
Well, you know, the other thing is we're not in any competition with each other. You know, I know his place, and I really have great honor and respect for him. And he does me too. We're different types of talents. And so he like today, he knew I was going to, I have several interviews today. And he made me coffee, and he made sure, you know, my Zoom thing was connected and stuff. He knows what it takes to make this part of my life run because he does it himself. So we really play off well on each other.
That's awesome. Well, Kelly, it's always a privilege to visit with you. I appreciate you taking some time out. And folks, again, KellyLang.net, the website. Of course, you can find her on all the socials. And Kelly, look forward to talking to you again, my friend.
You too. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 91st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, all at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, stickers, mugs, and tumblers, and more. It's at gqwithcam.com/shop. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great weekend.